Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
Oh, Phoenix!
Hey, yo.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
It's Patrick O'Dowd.
You straight punk bitch!
I mean, you're just gonna replace me.
Shut up!
Miranda Morales.
The biggest slut in the Western Hemisphere!
Why do I have to have a buzzer?
And Greg DeMarco.
You are now and will forever be an asshole.
Because it's my show.
And I love you, Greg.
You guys know how to party.
You're welcome.
Exactly. No pop.
It is April the 1st, Patrick O'Dowd, the worst day on social media of the year. And because it's so annoying, people post stupid shit for April Fool's Day, and I just get annoyed at it. So, yeah.
My feed was relatively clean today because I've kind of... Today was a sports-heavy day for me on the socials.
Right.
For the most part. Which is always dangerous because transfer portal season is going on in basketball. So sometimes you get like some fake accounts. But today largely was, for me, April Fool's free.
That's good, though. That's good.
It is. We suffer no fools on the DeMarco show.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. The day's not over yet.
This fool.
The day's not over yet. You never know what could happen. So there was one that showed Arizona State University was going to have a maroon field next year. And the sad thing is, the field looked
you
dope. Like, it looked really good. Like, I never would have considered
it's
ASU.
It's amazing what they could do with AI.
Yeah, like, it had the Big 12 logo, the pitchfork. It was perfect maroon to offset the gold. I was like, oh, do this. Like, do this for the non-conference games. I don't care what you got to do. Fucking do this. And, of course, it's not gonna be a thing. But
I mean, it's funny because... The first thought that went into my brain when you said that is like, well, the NCAA has, you have to follow special rules to do it. And I was like, wait a minute. We all know the NCAA has jack and shit in terms of actual power. So if Arizona State really wanted to do it, they could do it. Wouldn't be a problem. I love sports right now. Best Final Four one could have asked for, by the way. I know you didn't ask for me to share that, but best Final Four. So happy.
Exactly. No pop.
I mean, it makes sense. Like, it's only happened twice in history. I think maybe if right. there were some more underdogs along the way, I think there's nothing wrong with 1 and 2 seeds being in the Final Four.
Oh, absolutely not. That's why they're 1.
That's the point.
Seeds.
I know there was some analysis that I saw that was done that showed that these four teams individually, according to Ken Pom, who is one of the big, you know,
yeah.
ratings gurus, all four of these individual teams in the Final Four rank among the 20 greatest college basketball teams of all time. So,
yeah.
whatever. I'm down with it. I didn't watch a ton of this tournament. I watched a little bit of the first 2 days while I was working and then didn't catch a bunch after. I'll probably check out some of the Final Four, although I've kind of busy this weekend with three wrestling events.
Well, you know, you got to do that promoting thing.
Although, granted, that only affects Saturday.
This weekend.
Oh, look at you.
I'm going to be Yeah, it's the annual tournament with my team. Got teams on Saturday, singles and doubles on Sunday. So
there you go.
You know, bringing home bowling for some dollars,
bringing home the gold.
Yeah, I will say, if you have time to watch one of the two games of the Final Four game, the Houston Duke game is going to be, I think both games are going to be good.
You think so?
Houston, in my opinion, has the best chance to beat Duke. I think this is Duke's to lose. They, even amongst these four teams, have looked far and away better than anybody else in the tournament. It's like UConn the last 2 years. They have been awesome on both sides of the court. Houston, though, the thing that Houston is really good at is they defend. And they're about the only team that I think that can hang with them defensively to really work Duke over. So we'll see. But I think it'll be fun. Anyway, enough sports. I got it out of my system. I don't get to do Four Corners this weekend. I don't get to do the Bandwagon Nerds this weekend. So this was my shot. Taking it all.
It's amazing how long 20 seconds can be sometimes.
It feels like, yeah.
Because that soundbite's 20 seconds long. I got a message from somebody. I can't remember who. And like I said earlier, I have Twitter on my phone right now. Absolutely loved how we kept playing the Street Profits music and Solo's music back to back, because they didn't make the connection. They were at the "this sounds really familiar" point, and I was just like, "How did you not make the connection?" But I didn't say that because I don't want someone to feel stupid. I'm like Nice Greg lately. I don't know why. Maybe that's why I'm not on Twitter as much right now, because I'm in nice mode. I don't know. But let's leave nice mode, Patrick O'Dowd, and let's talk about John Cena and Cody Rhodes. Because they deserve it. I know you said a little bit off air, you're not feeling the build of these two title matches. Let's stick right now with John Cena and Cody Rhodes, because you texted me about John Cena and made a hilarious observation that I made at the Royal Rumble. And it's going to end up being the title of this program this week, I believe. But it does parlay into the actual feud itself. So let's talk about the dueling chance that I really wish we would see at WrestleMania, which of course would be, let's go Cena's socks. Let's talk about John Cena's terrible socks.
Yeah, and it's going to sound so silly. It doesn't sound
No, it's not silly. But it's real.
Well, face John Cena was bad enough, but you let it go because he's the good guy pushing his merch. But would you try to turn the personality a little bit? The socks, which, you know, are the first of all, the socks pulled up so you can see them, so we can see the merchandise.
Well, that's how people wear the socks, Patrick O'Dowd.
Which I don't care. It looks dumb. You look dumb. And 20-year-old kids right now, 20 years from now when you're in your 40s, you're going to look back the way we look at what we wore back in the 90s, and we're like, God, we look dumb.
Okay. 20 years ago wasn't the 90s, first of all, just to make sure you know that. It was 2020. It was 2005.
So 25 years ago, 26 years ago, make it 1999 just for you. But you know what I'm saying is you're going to look back on your 20-year-old self, and first of all, that's the other problem here is – you know, you just like, that's how people wear their socks. No, that's how like kids wear their socks. John Cena is what? 50?
49? 48. 47. He's my age. He's born in 1977.
He's a year old. Right. So if I walked down the street dressed like John Cena, there would be judgment. So I'm going to do some judging. I couldn't take him seriously. I'm sitting there looking, I was like, okay, you're this big badass dude with your goofy socks pulled up and your beige tennis shoes. They're beige, Greg. Like, who wears a beige shoe? And, you know, and we wore the hat the whole time.
I don't know why. Oh, God, I don't know why he changed the shoes this time. I really don't. He's been wearing these shoes since the Royal Rumble. When he literally made his Royal Rumble entrance, I was, and the crowd was chanting John Cena sucks, I was tweeting John Cena's socks because I immediately noticed these socks and I was like, what the fuck is up with these socks? And yes, it's stupid, but I don't care. When something is so stupid, but yet so important to talk about, that just goes back to how stupid it is. And the like I want, and here's the thing. If he had the high tops or the mid tops, whatever they're called, and he was doing that, and then he started wearing the socks after he turned heel, I'd be cool with it. Right. But he's been wearing the socks since day one-ish of this year anyway, when he showed up at the Royal Rumble. So the socks got to go, and the shoes got to change.
I'm actually going to bring this back to bowling.
Oh, God. Because
this is why. So the PBA.
Exactly. No pop. Watch,
no pop. And this is why, because this is the other, this is, I think, part of why this popped into my head. One of the PBA sponsors is a website called John's Crazy Socks.
Oh, geez. That's funny.
And if you watch PBA events, there's a banner for John's Crazy Sock. The official sock partner, the official athletic sock partner of the Professional Bowlers Association. John Cena, you are wearing your own crazy socks. In fact, maybe this is John Cena's company because it's John's Crazy Socks.
Maybe.
And now it's all coming together. John wants to be a part of the PBA. I just, the whole thing, and it's other stuff too. Like, again, I get it's a merch thing. I know he's going to change back because he's going to turn back at some point. You're not going to retire and people hate on you. You're just not.
So John from John's Crazy Socks graduated high school in 2017. I'm reading their story on their website. And John is.
He graduated from high school in 2017?
Okay. John's Crazy Socks wasn't started by John. John is a special needs individual. John's Crazy Socks was started by his family. So.
Gotcha. I'm not going to, but regardless of who it is or behind it.
Right.
My point is, it's that goofy aesthetic. I know you're about to talk about the other half of this conversation, but I can't take him seriously. Like, you know, back when you were like, no, sir, I don't like it initially. And here's the thing is, and we'll get to it a little bit later too. The promo was fine. It was great. On his side. I'm like, you're a goofy looking, you're a dad looking dude in jorts with your goofy socks, with your hat that still says no hate on it. Because even though you're a dick now and you're hating on everybody, you're wearing a hat that says no hate.
Because he told the fans he's not changing for them. You get nothing. He told them that.
But it's not what you're giving us. It's what you're giving us.
But here's the thing. That's the thing about, I'm watching this promo between John Cena and Cody Rhodes. And everyone is booing the shit out of John Cena, as they're supposed to. And it's great. About 40% of the people I saw booing the shit out of John Cena were wearing his shirt.
Yeah, wearing his shit. Well, you don't even have to go to the promo. When his music hits, there is a dad and a kid. And you can see it because they're waiting for John Cena's music to hit. And the kid is in the John Cena shirt. He's younger than the kid that made television last week. But the dad gets like, he's like, you ready? Ready? Yay, John Cena! Like when the music hit, the kid, and I'm like, oh, like I get it. Like I understand.
Right.
And at the same time, like.
I mean, you turn John Cena heel, so there's going to be some of both sides. Right. Like, I think the fans are booing to be a part of it, but they still love John Cena.
Sure.
Here's the, like, what's crazy is that they start Raw, and the crowd is chanting, let's go Cena, Cena sucks. And I'm like, okay, did they have Alicia Taylor announce before they went on the air that John Cena was coming up to kick off the show? Because what if John Cena wasn't scheduled to be the first person through the curtain? Like, would they rush and be like, John, get over here quick. Like, get someone, go get Cody. because what if it was like Gunther or something, right? Who gets a babyface reaction in Europe. And kudos to CM Punk, who like played the heel in their cage match and then put Gunther over on you know, on microphone, because people were like, kayfabe, kayfabe, kayfabe. And it's like, he's in Austria. Let the man have his thing. Like, come on. Stop being stupid, wrestling fans. I know that's dumb of me to say, but but it's just
the same people. They're the same people who think the bat spot was necessary on AEW.
No, most of the people who don't, even a lot of AEW fans think that was stupid. So my thing is Cena, like, okay, if I were rebooking again, the first Cena heel promo should have been no Cody involvement whatsoever. The second one, okay, whatever. The third one, because, you know, Cody interrupts him and Cody talks before John even says anything. I think as soon as Cody finished talking, Cena should have hit him with the AA and left and not said a word. Like, I didn't need all that back and forth, because I know you said the promo was fine. I thought the promo sucked. I really do.
Okay. I need you.
And a lot of people loved it. A lot of people loved it.
What?
A lot of people loved that promo.
Let me explain why I love that promo, but I need you to tell the audience what you told me via text that we were going to talk about on the podcast with regards to Cody Rhodes.
I'm going
to
go find it.
I can read it to you.
I got it. So are you going first, or do I need to go first?
I need you to go first so that I can explain to you why I enjoyed John Cena's promo so much.
Well, I got to make sure it's the right thing that I said, because I did say many things.
It's right after I say, "and the old man tennis shoes."
Okay, that's what I thought. Yeah, I was saving this for. To me, Cody Rhodes, in all of these promos, but especially this one, comes off as an absolute phony. In fact, maybe I won't call this podcast "Let's Go Cena, Cena Sucks." Maybe I'll call it "Phony Rhodes," because that's how I feel he is right now. Like, I see Cody Rhodes and I'm like, I don't remember what I said about John Cena when he turned heel. You referenced it briefly. I said, I need to believe it. I need to hear him talk. I need to believe it. And the first promo he cut, I believed it, which is why I thought Cody wasn't needed. I don't believe anything that's coming out of Cody's mouth right now. It doesn't match him. It doesn't match his look. It doesn't match his persona. It doesn't match anything. I just don't believe Cody. And no offense, and I know those people who hate this, John Cena is carrying this program right now. By far, like 80-20 carrying this program, in my opinion.
Okay, and so with what you just said there, the reason I liked John Cena's half the promo is because, what do I always say good heels do?
Tell the truth.
What did John Cena basically do to Cody with that whole thing? He basically called everything that Cody has been and done and is doing phony and performative, which has been a criticism one Greg DeMarco has had even outside of this program when it comes to babyface Cody. You know what I mean? Right. So as I'm sitting there, and maybe it was just the timing of when we were texting back and forth, because I was watching this at the same time as we were texting back and forth, because it was what I did after I got off work, because I figured this is probably going to be what we talk about today. And you're right. And so as you say that, like literally moments after you say that, we get to the part of the promo where Cena's talking about how Cody is basically a 16-year-old. What did he called him, like a somebody who couldn't pass speech class, who was like an amalgamation of everything he liked from previous wrestling shows. Like it was like what you've been talking about. So like, tip of the cap, dad golfing Cena. I wish you were daddy Cena and not, you know, golf dad Cena, but hey,
that's what I need. Well, okay. A couple weeks ago, my daughter and I were at the mall. She was getting a second piercing in her ears. And we walked by, I don't know if Hot Topic or whatever, but the big sign in one of the windows was a young girl wearing a shirt that says, "Tell your dad I said hi." That's the dad I need John Cena to be right now.
Right.
That's, we need, not daddy Cena, you're dating yourself. We need Zaddy Cena, is what the young people would say. We need Zaddy Cena.
Greg, I'm not gonna pander to the youth of America.
But that's the Cena that we need. to get this program going.
You.
Right? Don't.
You just made the list.
You know, you don't have to be your age. You don't have to act your age. You can just be your age. But no, I'm with you. But and then Cody leads in with, here's all the things you could say about me. I have a lisp. I have an arm tattoo on my neck. I blah, blah, this. I blah, 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 that. And I'm like, Cody, unless you call yourself a fucking phony, you're missing the mark, brother. Like, I just, and it's because it's like Cody, and then he makes a dick joke about John seeing his dick in his jorts. And then he calls him a piece of shit. And I'm like, you look like a Karen.
Funny aside.
He's Karen Rhodes, too.
Right. Funny aside. Love that Netflix did not bleep out shit on my recording, but later bleeped out douchebag.
I didn't even notice that. But it's like every time Cody swears. Okay. I don't know if your son did this. I know mine did this. I remember doing this when I was a kid. Right. When you're telling your parents a story. And you're like, you come to the point where there's a curse word involved and you're like, can I say it? Can I say it? Can I say it? And they're like, fine. And you're like, and then they were like, fuck this. And you feel like a grown up because you got to swear. That's how it looks every time Cody Rhodes swears. He looks like a little kid who got permission to say a bad word.
Right.
In my opinion. It just doesn't. It's like, oh, I'm going to say bullshit. Rock, go fuck yourself. And then for years, he's like, remember I told Rock go fuck himself? Rocky told me I could say it. Like, that's, Cody does come off as the Mark John Cena said he was. He called him a fan, which I thought was great.
Right.
And I just, it's just like, I think that when we go to who should win, who will win, I'm going to say who should win is Cody Rhodes, right? It's Cody needs the win, blah, blah, blah. I don't know that he should. Right now, like, and I think Cena's going to win and retire as champion later in the year and all that. And it's fine. He deserves that ending to walk off into the sunset and everything. It's what it is. Again, I predicted that they were going to be tag team partners at Backlash in May. So what the hell do I know?
Backlash.
But now I'm starting to wonder, Patrick O'Dowd, like the wrestle. I thought about this when I was exercising before I got on this call with you. WrestleMania crowds are different. We all know this.
Yeah.
And it almost sometimes seems like 50 to 60,000 people got together the day before and were like, okay, here's what we're going to do. And they don't, but it just catches on like wildfire. There's a better than outside chance John Cena is treated as the babyface at WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah.
Because this is his last WrestleMania. They all know it.
Oh, yeah.
But maybe they boo him out of respect like Europe has been doing. I don't know. Like, yeah. This is almost where you could pull off a huge double turn.
Right.
Now, I know they don't want, supposedly, they don't want Cody to be a heel and blah, blah, blah. And one of the reasons they don't want Cody to be a heel is because he sends tons of merch. Now, let's go back 15 minutes and talk about what I said about everybody booing John Cena. They were all wearing his shirts. Like, you turn Cody heel, he's still going to sell a ton of merch. Like, Roman sold all kinds of merch as a heel. Like, it's just crazy. Right.
Roman never stopped selling merch.
No, it's like, he's like the NWO. Like, we're going to see these OTC, like Sammy should still be selling Sammy Uso shirts. And if he ever, you know, leaves WWE and reopens his Pro Wrestling Tees story, he should come up with some kind of Sammy Uso shirt that he can sell. Cody's a heel. I've been saying this for far too long now. He's a heel. And this program is proving that. And John Cena is literally doing the Lord's work trying to build this program. And it still deserves to main event night 2, in my opinion, go on last. And it's all gravy from there. But I just, Cody is, I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. But I'm inching closer and closer and closer to Cody's not the guy, brother. Like, I really am. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to because I love Cody's story. Not the finish my story, but the story in general of Cody Rhodes. The references to Vince and Tony Khan and Cody leaving, like, it all felt forced. It felt just as forced as Cody swearing like a 12-year-old. Like, it's just...
Right.
Weird to me, and I just don't think it needs it. And what's so funny is that people are bitching about Jey Uso versus Gunther being like, well, can't they just be two guys competing for a title? Well, that's what Cena and Cody's supposed to be, and it ain't necessarily working that well. are two guys at the same level. They want Jey Uso to be considered the same level as Gunther, the fans that are complaining, and he's not. And yet we have Cody scratching and crawling, crawling, trying to be considered, or scratching and clawing, trying to be considered the same level as John Cena, and he's just not. And I'm starting to think Cody Rhodes, which is surprising because I wouldn't have said that 2 years ago, might be the least aware professional wrestler in the world right now. Least self-aware professional wrestler in the world right now.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah.
Because I don't think he sees what we see. And again, maybe we're in the minority. I don't know. It's just, it's not even a playlist thing. It's just what I see and feel. But I'm not feeling this Cody Rhodes stuff.
It's a vanilla milkshake with no whipped cream or cherry on top. Like, it's just,
yeah,
it's not, he's not particularly compelling right now. Like, in, you know, whether it's like, I don't go through the whole, like, feeling like he's as phony, like feeling like I don't have those feelings. Like, I differ from you in that regard, but he doesn't excite me. Like, like, people like to sing a song. Like, we know that.
Which is so funny because the same people criticize Jey Uso for the exact same thing.
Oh, yeah.
He's only
yeah.
over because of the song.
But like, once you get past that and the you know, the cool robe or the suit, you know, he still has a neck tattoo.
His wife hates, and she said it publicly.
Well, and you know, we made fun of it, and that was another thing we made fun of on the show. And they should make fun of it every week. It was a terrible decision, Cody.
Yeah.
It was a terrible decision.
And I know somebody can get rid of that for you.
It's boring. And that's, you know, you talk about John Cena doing the Lord's work. When one half of your main events is boring.
Right.
Like, and here's the other thing. Like.
Uh-oh.
That's right.
Oh, there's back. Okay, you froze for a second there. You're still frozen,
did I freeze again?
I can hear you. Yes, your face is frozen, but your voice is coming through. Now your face is moving again.
Yeah, it said reconnecting, and you're all digitized and blurry on my side. So I don't know why Skype's in a bad mood with me today.
I'm telling you, Skype really wants us to get on Teams away.
Well, and you know, and I have nothing up and running. Like I have voice meter. And I have Skype. Like, that's what I'm doing. I'm about to sneeze. But
it's okay. Yep, Patrick Dowd is muted. Patrick Dowd is sneezing. And there goes the sneeze. No, what? Wait, maybe. Maybe.
I worked it out. You worked it out. For now. I caught another toy. Absolutely.
So, you know what's funny about this whole Cody Rhodes thing, Patrick O'Dowd? They were never able to answer the age old question that we always talk about, right? Then what? He won the title and it was this big moment. And by the way, he didn't win it on his own. He won it with the help of everyone, including The Undertaker and John Cena, which Cena hasn't brought up yet, I don't think. I'm waiting for Cena to be like, without me, you may not have won this title.
Nothing I recall.
Even though Cena got taken out by The Rock, which ironic, and then The Undertaker came out, right? So maybe this match should be seen Cody versus The Undertaker. I don't know. But, and again, I don't blame them for doing this match. Like, this is the money match. It's John Cena's retirement tour. No, he should main event his last WrestleMania. It's the money match. I'm not even upset about the night one main event. Like, do I still think they need to put women in the main event of WrestleMania? I do. But I'm not as upset about Roman, Seth, and CM Punk being the final match of night one either, the way a lot of other people are. And we'll talk about that after the break. But
I'm not, I was going to say,
hang on. Just wait.
Where we're going. Yeah.
Just wait.
I'm waiting. Wait. Here, I'll do this.
He just muted himself. I was like waiting to see what he's talking about. Now he's still muted and talking. So, we'll put a pin in the Cody Rhodes-John Cena conversation. We don't like John Cena's socks. I feel as though Cody's a phony. Patrick O'Dowd's not quite there to Cody's a phony, but he feels like Cody is very plain vanilla and boring as a champion. So great. That's our WrestleMania main event. It's being carried by the guy with bad socks. Is what it is. Let's go to commercial. We'll come back and talk about the topic we teased a little bit because I did want to talk about that anyway. So it's a perfect segue. We'll be right back here. Greg DeMarco, Patrick O'Dowd, Greg DeMarco Show, ChairShot Radio Network, ProWrestlingTees.com/ChairShot. Pick up one of them beautiful shirts. Be right back.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey folks, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code ChairShot. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
Bitch!
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 We are back on the second half of our program, and we talked a little bit about off-air about how we feel about the other world title match, which is, of course, Gunther, the reigning world heavyweight champion, defending his championship against the 2025 Men's Royal Rumble match winner, Jey Uso. And that has seemingly picked up traction this week, Patrick O'Dowd. The fact that, and this is the stat that everyone loves to throw out, this is the first time, and only since we've had two Royal Rumbles, that neither the Men's Royal Rumble match winner nor the Women's Royal Rumble match winner is in a main event match at WrestleMania. Now, Jey Uso himself even said, like, this whole the last match is the main event thing is a term of convenience for WWE. They only use it when it matters. The only time they ever put the graphic, the main event, on a WrestleMania match was when Becky Lynch, Ronda Rousey, and Charlotte Flair did it at WrestleMania 35. Which, by the way, the match stunk. If you go back and watch it, it wasn't a very good match. Charlotte Flair and Asuka the year before, in hindsight, should have closed WrestleMania 34, considering what did close WrestleMania 34. That or the Ronda Rousey Kurt Angle versus Triple H Stephanie McMahon match, although, God, that would have pissed a lot of people off. But there seems to be this upswell more than before, because again, women haven't main evented WrestleMania since WrestleMania 37. So we're going on 38, 39, 40, 41. 4 years. No one was complaining about that, but now we're mad. And no one seems to be all that mad that Charlotte's not main eventing. They're just mad because main event Jey Uso, who won the Royal Rumble, isn't quote unquote main eventing one of the nights of WrestleMania. And I feel like it's just complaining to complain. Your thoughts on their thoughts about the fact that none of these Royal Rumble winners are main eventing, given the fact that I can't see either of those matches being a main event, a show closing match at WrestleMania.
Right. First of all, as you noted, there's been WrestleManias where they've named four matches main events, three matches main events.
Right. Like double main event, triple main event. Yeah.
As you said, term of convenience is a very apt way of titling it. And you kind of got to the core of what I really just sort of not even picked up on. It wasn't a surprise, but you know, as I'm watching the SmackDown recap of the contract signing and they're talking about how that triple threat match between Roman, Seth, and Punk, the match that Eric Bischoff clearly hasn't been following,
since he doesn't understand the build,
was going to go on last. Like, and they say that and they announced it. And I was like, that tells you all you need to know about the power of Jey Uso versus Gunther.
Well, I don't think that was ever, even when Jey Uso was booked to win the Rumble, I don't think they ever planned on that closing either night of WrestleMania.
But my point is you say they didn't ever think, but why do you never even think of planning that to close the main event of WrestleMania? Like, if you know that ahead of time, that tells you all you need to know about the match you're putting out there, because you know it's not going to be last.
But I don't think it matters.
Triple threat. Like, if you know you're doing the triple threat, you know that's going to be this huge deal in this big match. That's fine. That really is. And I'm not saying that, like, Jey Uso isn't a draw. I'm not saying Gunther isn't a draw. As I sat there and watched Jimmy Uso, Ric Flair bleed in the middle of the ring.
I know, right?
He tapped the gusher. Unnecessary, yeah. But whatever.
I don't think they planned on him bleeding quite that much.
Yeah, maybe we just hit the right artery, but
I don't know how much the Usos have bled. So that's too. They might be like, "Oh shit, these guys are bleeders."
But my point here is, it isn't so much to disparage the match itself, but we always talk about this recognized hierarchy, and people like old school people like Jim Ross are rolling over complaining because world title matches aren't closing the show. Like, and that's just the way his brain has always worked and been programmed. And the strength of those matches, as you pointed out, while solid stories, though not really enamoring me, like, I don't care. Like, I don't. Like, and Jey Uso's fun, but I don't care.
Right.
Enough to be like, this is how I'd want to close the show. But 3 years of story that's been built between CM Punk, Seth Rollins, and more than 3 years.
Literally.
But the 13 years. Yeah. Like the total intertwining of the three of them.
I mean, Punk legitimately did bring in the Shield. Like,
right.
Their first appearance was to help Punk win a match. Like, that's.
So there. The culmination of that story makes a hell of a lot of sense. To be.
I don't think it's the culmination, like, but yeah.
What?
I don't think it's a culmination.
I don't think it is either, because you've made your Paul Heyman prediction 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I'm sticking with it. So. It's not Seth Rollins cashing in at WrestleMania level prediction, but it's right there.
It's a very strong prediction. But my point here is that, you know, it's heads and tails above any other match on the card. And
it's the biggest match on the card, in my opinion.
Right. That's what I said. Heads
of anything. Of all the title matches of everything. And to be honest with you, it only matters that they're calling it a main event because of CM Punk, because he's never main evented WrestleMania. And he has been touting that himself for over a decade, right? It's another main event for Roman Reigns, who already has the most show closing matches. Rollins got his last year. Now he's getting his second. Rollins being pissed that Punk gets a WrestleMania main event is a good piece of business, by the way. Like,
right.
Being the whole, like, Rollins doesn't want to be in the main event because it means Punk gets the main event. Like, that's Seth Rollins to a T right there. Like, I love that.
Sullying the main event.
Yeah, exactly. And I wanted Roman versus Seth for last year's WrestleMania. I wanted them to wait and do Cody versus Roman at this year's WrestleMania. My God, that would have been terrible in hindsight. So it doesn't matter. But unless Cody went off and did something else and then came back, but whatever, not left the company, but did a different program, like the Brock program, did something else. But, cause remember, Cody and plus Bloodline equals Cody doesn't matter. The only feud that's been good for Cody Rhodes since he won the title is Kevin Owens. Like the Cena feud, every other feud has made Cody look bad. Not even considering the neck tattoo, but it's that match deserves the spot that it is getting to be in. Jey Uso, here's the thing, okay? If Jey Uso and Gunther was the last match of night two of WrestleMania, it's still going to end with 60,000 people doing the Jey Uso arm waving thing. Right. Like, it'd be fine.
Fireworks going off.
Yeah. And look, Jey Uso's going to win, okay? Like spoiler alert. Who should win and who win is Jey Uso. Like, maybe who should win is Gunther. You could probably make that argument, but Jey Uso is winning this match. If he loses this match, you're obviously putting the Usos back together as a tag team, because they're cashing in years of build for Jey Uso, not for him to lose to Gunther. Like, it's just not going to happen, in my opinion. And the moment's going to be huge. I don't necessarily think it's going to open a night either. Like, I think it's going to be one of those, maybe it goes on right before the triple threat of night one. I don't know. Last year they put women in the second to last match both nights, I believe. So I don't know how they're going to position it all. But, and again, you know, they talk about the women's situation, like, good for Io Sky. I don't care that she feels a little shoehorned in the match. She deserves spotlight. So it's just a personal playlist thing for me. Jey Uso is going to get his moment. It's going to be great. Everyone's going to love it. It doesn't matter where to, Jey Uso himself said it doesn't matter where it is on the card. Like it's, he did main event SummerSlam already in a football stadium against Roman Reigns, only lost because Jimmy interfered. Like, again, that was 2023. So this has been going on for a long time. To me, it's complaining to complain. Like, we know what it is. And here's the point that I've made to some people on social, mainly Facebook groups, or people complaining about this. And no one seems to have a retort. Okay. WrestleMania 9 was the first WrestleMania where the winner of the Royal Rumble got the challenge for the WWF at the time championship. Yokozuna won. He challenged Bret Hart. He won, of course. Hogan came out, did his whole thing, whatever, right? WrestleMania 10, we had the crazy finish of the Royal Rumble where Bret and Luger tied. We did what we did. WrestleMania 11, Shawn Michaels wins the Royal Rumble, challenges Diesel for the WWF Championship in the second to last match at WrestleMania 11. Patrick O'Dowd, I'm going to ask you a stupid question, but it's not rhetorical. What WrestleMania are we coming up on? What's the number of this WrestleMania in Vegas in a few weeks?
Oh, shit. Here's how I'm so out of touch. I don't even know.
It's 41, okay?
Yeah,
it's WrestleMania 41.
I was like, oh, shit.
The first time a Royal Rumble winner wasn't in the main event of WrestleMania was 30 years ago. 30-0. Many of the people complaining weren't alive yet. It was 30 fucking years ago. Actually, they probably were, but whatever. And now we suddenly care? Like, there's a good chance you were a toddler running around when Shawn Michaels didn't get to main event WrestleMania 11. Thank God we didn't have the internet.
We're performative fans. You know that. Like, we're performative. Right.
But it's like, what? Who? It just, again. And here's the other thing. Like, if Jey Uso wins, when Jey Uso wins, we're going to see that footage of the celebration forever. We're not going to see the build. The last time we're going to see the build to Jey Uso versus Gunther is a video they play before the match that I won't even see because I don't have that tier on Peacock. Right?
Right.
I'll see it during the last Raw. Because this is the kind of build where the Raw before Mania, you don't even see both guys. They just play the video package. Right? That's what they're probably going to do.
Right.
And it'll be the same video package they play during WrestleMania that I won't see because I don't have that level of membership, which is fine. John Cena and Cody Rhodes. We're not going to see highlights of the build. We're going to see highlights of the finish when he hits the crossroads.
Nor do we want to see highlights of
because it made Cody look bad. Or we see highlights of Cena winning, and then this thing extends to SummerSlam. Who knows? Like, the only build I really care to relive is the build to CM Punk versus Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins, because it's been great. If you go back to the Royal Rumble, to the attack, like this has been the best built storyline, and it's probably the one that had the most input from the talent. Like, I'm sorry, Roman Reigns dragging Seth Rollins out of that steel cage, which, by the way, caused Rollins to win the match, and then leading to the triple threat, and then Roman, I mean, this was prime tribal chief when he's just like, I got the match, check. I put you in the main event of WrestleMania, check. Favors cash and check. Like, Roman took credit for everything, and Rollins didn't even dispute that shit. And then Punk was like, that's not the favor. It's like, okay, that goes back to Survivor Series, first of all. And hopefully this isn't an NWO situation or a lockbox situation from WrestleMania 32. Like, hopefully they know what the favor is. And they'll pay off. And I'm sure they do because of how involved it is. But this has been the best built match on the card. And it's showing. And I'll be honest with you. I saw a post today somewhere, I think on Facebook. Or maybe it's Instagram. I don't know. And basically the thought was, because next week on Raw, Lyra Valkyria is defending the Intercontinental Championship against Bayley. Because Bayley beat her in a qualifying match for Elimination Chamber. So it's the one challenger that Lyra hasn't beaten. And they've been intertwined with Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez. It's fairly obvious to me that we're building to Lyra Valkyria as Women's Intercontinental Champion and Bayley versus Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez for the women's tag titles at WrestleMania. And somebody was like, if that's the match, it feels too rushed. And I'm like, it's been building for over a month. They just haven't announced it yet. Like, we have this need to have the matches announced weeks ahead of time.
But then we complain when we get bored with it.
Right. Look at Jey Uso and Gunther. Like, it's, you know, I mean,
in fairness, I've never really been excited about Jey Uso and Gunther.
I was when Jey Uso won the Royal Rumble. My problem is it's been the same thing week after week after week. Like, I would have been okay with a Gunther via satellite at some point. Like, if Jey Uso wasn't there on Raw this week.
Didn't get to see Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, I know, right? And that's the thing. Like, how do you not put Jey Uso on Raw? Like, if Jey Uso wasn't on Raw this week and it was just Jimmy getting beat up and Jey wasn't there to save him, like, that to me is better storytelling. But how do you do that with Jey? So, well,
and here's the thing is, if you do that, you talk about a what's next. It's an easy,
of course,
what's next.
Because now you have Gunther bragging.
You left me to Gunther.
Yeah. Well, not only that, but Jimmy told him you can't be here. Like, Jimmy told Jey you can't be at ringside. Like, Jimmy was like, you stay home. And so now Jey's upset because he listened to Jimmy. And now Gunther's out there next week from Raw on Raw from Minneapolis taking credit. And you have Jey come through the crowd with no music because Jey is not supposed to be there. Or maybe Jey attacks Gunther and then next week he's banned from the building. And now he's coming in with no music. Like, these are age old wrestling tropes that I'm spouting out here. I'm not reinventing the wheel.
Right.
I'm just using a different wheel and not the same wheel every single week. You know, I'm not putting the same wheel in every single car, making the cars look different and better. So it's just been kind of, I think the plane that you called Cody Rhodes, the boring is kind of because it's the same thing every single week. Whereas with Jey and Gunther, it's been the same thing every single week until this week. But it still ended up with Jey coming out and fighting Gunther. Like, I just think it would have been better. I know you can't not have Jey on an international show. Like, they want to yeet, even though they didn't really yeet. Right. So it wouldn't have mattered, right? They saw Jey, but he wasn't yeeting like a madman anyway. So this would have been a good run to not have Jey on it. But
right.
I would have been. And you can't have him come out after because people have been like, where the hell were you earlier? So when Jimmy was getting his ass kicked, like, well, yeah, you're going to beat up Dominic and that's great. But like, where were you earlier in the show? So but at the same time, and we've said this time and time again, especially around WrestleMania time, come April 19th and 20th, we're getting ready to sit down on Christmas and watch WrestleMania, and none of this matters. Because it's all overcome by the spectacle and the football stadium and the legends and the environment and everything that you only get at a WrestleMania. No matter how hard they try to turn Royal Rumble into a WrestleMania-like atmosphere and SummerSlam into a WrestleMania-like atmosphere, there's only one WrestleMania. And we're about to see it in a few weeks. So I can really get all caught up around the build when I know that in a month from now, none of that build matters because we're on to complaining about the build to Backlash. So it just doesn't make a difference, in my opinion. So there we go.
I'm sorry. When have we ever complained about the build to Backlash?
We should appreciate the build to Backlash. We should appreciate that they still have Backlash. Backlash? I love Backlash.
Joey Styles on the phone.
Because Michael Cole always says Royal Rumble is his favorite event of the year. I want Wade Barrett to be like, you know what? I love Backlash. No. Exactly. I want Corey Graves.
Hook me up with Fastlane.
Corey Graves is the rebel in all this. I want Corey Graves to be like, it's time for my favorite event of the year, Backlash. And at least it's not like when it was all rematches, except for the tribal, you know, the bloodline triple threat or six-man tag match that they did a couple years ago, which, by the way, was also amazing. Hell, I remember when they did a Shield six-man tag against Evolution at Backlash. Like, that was phenomenal. There's things you can do. I'm down for Backlash. I think Backlash in St. Louis is going to be a fantastic show, fantastic wrestling city, all of it. It's going to be the best.
I love you so long!
So let's take a quick second commercial break, and I got a couple questions for you.
8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
All right, you know, I forgot to play the other soundbite I wanted to play. So let's I gotta find it. There it is.
All right, gentlemen, you have 3 minutes, and you better make it good.
We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here. The clock is ticking, and we're in the clear. We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here. We got 3 minutes, and we're out.
Shifting gears completely, Patrick O'Dowd. I have some questions for you. We're going back to sports. We're not talking about the Final Four, though, okay? This weekend, we have the NFL owners' meetings. They're talking about such things as banning the tush push, which they've tabled. They changed the kickoff to bring the ball out to the 35 now for a touchback to encourage more returns, even though they had a lot more returns last year, and it was great. They're not going to change the rule that doesn't make a pass interference or defensive holding call an automatic first down because we love offensive football. And then baseball is having all these conversations about the new torpedo bat that could lead to more offense, this and that. You tend to be a purist and old school about a lot of these things. When you see sports trending in the direction of supporting rule changes that lead to a faster pace and higher scoring, how do you feel? And it may be different for football and baseball for you. I don't know, because you played baseball and you have this love for baseball.
Well, it's funny because I'm actually on the really progressive side of baseball rule changes.
I remember we talked about the rule changes back when they pitch clock and everything.
I very much believe in an automated strike zone. If you want more exciting baseball, have a consistent strike zone because it changes the game. These bats that everybody's losing their minds about, like, they meet the standards put forth by Major League Baseball for what is considered a legal bat. Heaven forbid science advance the sport. It's the same thing with bowling. I'll use bowling as another example. You know, for the longest time, there was one type of bowling ball made with, you know, no special cores, no reactive resin, nothing to alter how you could shoot a ball until somebody learned that you could get a better angle on the pins if you could get it the ball to hook. And so then technology advanced and there are specifications put forth by league to keep it to make it advance. Now they've made changes and tweaks to rules when they feel like it is an unfair competitive advantage. For example, you used to be able to drill holes in the side of your ball that it basically altered the differential in such a way to create more hook in a way that's not generated necessarily by you. Football, I think football is actually honestly overregulated in a lot of different ways, or we try too hard to over-legislate. I mean, what is pass interference anymore? You know what I mean?
We don't know.
What is it?
Nobody knows.
And
part of that's because of the cameras, because we can see so much more now than we can see before.
And the other thing that you got to face up with, and this is why I don't mind the torpedo bats in baseball, and this is why baseball frustrates me, is because they do so much to make the game less exciting to watch. Like, baseball works the opposite direction and makes things illegal all the time that slow the game down. And then they're like, why is the game so slow? Why won't people watch it? Why aren't there as many home runs? Well, you take away all the things that happen that cause runs to score. Football.
Uh-oh. We just lost Patrick O'Dowd completely. And I'm going to pause the recording. All right, we are back. We had some Skype really wants us to get off of Skype. And that's, it is what it is, Skype. Again, you're really not presenting a great argument for me to use Teams when this Skype thing is over. Patrick O'Dowd was talking about football. Feels as though they overregulate the game. He's very progressive-minded in terms of baseball as we move things forward. So get to where you were going.
So anyway, I want, and I've come to understand that in terms of professional sports, it's a television product.
Of course it is.
So we have to create like the NFL, you know, NFL, NCAA, MLB, all of these sports, they're going to do what will present the best product for their audience that gets the most eyeballs. It's actually the problem with the NBA right now, because the NBA has gone too far on the offensive side and is losing steam because people are not finding it as entertaining as they used to.
It's just all threes. Yeah, people are. But again, yeah. Who are those people? And are they really the majority of the viewing audience? Because ratings are apparently up.
I mean,
so I don't know.
Yeah, but what are ratings anymore, too, right? Like,
ratings are what keep the networks paying these big TV contracts.
No, I get you. But what I'm saying is, you can contract your way out of that. Just ask AEW.
That's true.
So, yeah. But anyway, like at the end of the day, yeah, if it makes for a more entertaining product and a product I enjoy watching, then I don't really have a problem with it. Like, I want there to be quarters in men's college basketball. The only basketball
it is weird.
Game that doesn't have quarters. It's like, why? And they won't go to halves, or they won't go to quarters. They stick with halves. It's weird. Things that don't slow down.
Is there a reason? Do we know a reason for that? I don't even want to get into that.
Not a good one. Not one that I know of. And it doesn't make even like women's college basketball plays on quarters. So like, It's not even like unified across college sports. So long-winded way of saying, I don't mind rule changes that make sense. I think fighting the tush push is dumb, but whatever.
All right. I agree with you. And I loved some of the coaches' takes on the tush push. Like opposing coaches are like, so they're good at it, so we're going to stop them from doing it. Like, I get that. Like, I do love the fact that a lot of the coaches, and the fact that it was literally tied 16-16 in the vote, and that's why they tabled it. I don't think it's going away. So I'm fine with all that. It's an offensive sport. Like you said, it's a TV business. That's where the bulk of the money's coming in, just like wrestling. So it is what it is. Let me ask you this, Patrick, as we wrap things up. Final Four this weekend. We've got our Final Four games. You talked about it a little bit. Let's, because you don't have whatever that was called. What's the name of the podcast? I feel terrible right now.
Four Corners.
Four Corners podcast. Duke versus Houston. Who's going to win?
I got Duke.
Florida versus Auburn. Who's going to win?
If you'd asked me 2 weeks ago, I would have said Florida, but right now I think it's Auburn.
Okay. Duke versus Auburn. Who's going to win? Who's your national champion?
I think it's Duke. I think they've been the best team in the tournament. They've looked head and shoulders the best team in the tournament. And, you know, when we sat out here, I picked Florida after the SEC tournament. They don't look like the champs. It looks like it's Duke's to lose.
Yep. Duke's who I picked. I didn't even look at the work pool to see if I have anybody else in the Final Four besides Duke. Still alive, because I don't remember when I did it a couple weeks ago. But at least I still have the possible winner sitting out there. So, all right. Patrick O'Dowd, technology be damned. That is a wrestling program. We appreciate you guys listening. Remember, a month from now, 90% of what everyone's complaining about won't matter. What matters is the matches when we get there to WrestleMania. It's WrestleMania. It's almost like the build is just necessary to get us to this amazing night. Like, sometimes the sales at Christmas aren't as good as you were hoping they were, but Christmas is still great. At least I hope it is for you. Other than that, enjoy the ride that we're on. And even if at the end of the day, you can't enjoy the ride that we're on, take solace in the fact that it's not for us anyway. We're not even the target audience anymore. It's for the casual fans. It's they're the ones who don't give a shit about the Jey Uso Gunther build. They love Jey Uso. They do the dance. They're booing John Cena because it's fun right now. Honestly, that's why most people are booing John Cena. They buy his merch and then they boo him because they're simply having fun. In fact, you could argue that right now John Cena is the biggest or second biggest babyface in the company. Because by booing him, they're cheering for him right now. Like, that's literally what they're doing for John Cena. And if you don't understand what I'm saying, you're not going to. So it doesn't matter. But it's the build. Enjoy it. Look, if you're in Phoenix, come to the Game On Expo this weekend. IZW joins up with WrestleDrag versus Pro Wrestling, Party Hard Wrestling, for a weekend full of wrestling as part of the Game On Expo. It is free with your admission to the Game On Expo. They bring us in to do this. It's our second year in a row doing it. We're very excited. So go to GameOnExpo.com. Pick up your 3-day passes there. Stop by, say hi, have a good time, and it'll be good. Other than that, let's get ourselves to WrestleMania and have a good time. It's wrestling. It's supposed to be fun. For those of you who listen every week, Listen to all of our podcasts here at the ChairShot Radio Network, ChairShot.com. We appreciate you. We'll see you next time.
TheChairShot.com.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Taking it all. Several score. No, I will not take a loss. Taking it all.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.